Welcome. Chag Kosher v'Sameach. By kosher, I mean the hashgacha on the whiskey. To those that are listening at home, you're being deprived of the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah biur chametz by attending the shiur live. There's a lot of liquid chametz being consumed. But I asked, since the Gemara in the past on the past daf has been discussing this topic of the dating of shtarot from the Shnot Melachim, and then last week we began discussing the issue of a dating system from Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the question came up of, you know, the idea that right now we are in the year 5779. Hey, Tav Shin Ayin Tet. When did that come from? Like, from when is the counting of A.M., Anno Mundi, the years of the world, the years from Yitziat Mitzrayim, from when is that in force? So we turn to our friend and scholar, Tom, to explain all this to us.
Erev Tov, dear readers.
Gentle listeners,
right.
I'm very good.
Thank you for this opportunity. I say that I'm a little bit scatterbrained because I didn't have enough time, but it's not our fearless leader's fault because you gave me time this morning and I didn't have a chance.
Yeah, and you were supposed to do it last week.
I was supposed to like print something out and I didn't get to it, but hopefully this will make a little bit of sense. So first of all, one thing that makes this really hard to understand is like we've all gone to, you know, kindergarten, and we've all gone to high school and college, and we're just so used to like using numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and writing them down normally. And even our calendar, I'm sorry, even like the days of the week or the days of the month, it's like muvan mi'alav. So when people start talking about other systems, it's a little bit hard to appreciate what you're talking about. And just to give you an idea, like even the Romans, you know, who we think of as being advanced, and they were great engineers and whatnot, but they had a hard time counting too. They couldn't do fractions. They hadn't invented fractions. Well, they hadn't invented fractions yet. They couldn't do decimals. So
because they didn't have numerals.
Because they didn't have numerals, right. So like you all know like what the Ides are, right?
The 15th of the month.
Ides of the month.
So wrong. Okay? But if you read a little bit of Shakespeare, you know that the Ides of March is the 15th of March. The Ides is actually the 13th of the month, except for every 3 months when it's the 15th, including March. But the way that they count is, so if you wanted to know, like, you know, when the 15th of the month is, you called it the Ides. And if you wanted to know what the day before the 15th month was, you'd call it the day before the Ides. And if you want to know what 2 days before the Ides were, you'd say
2 days.
That's what you'd say. But what Romans said is they'd say 3 days before the Ides. Because the Romans, like also what Chazal do a lot, is they counted inclusively. So if you, you know, you had like 2 more days till you got somewhere, you called that 3 days. So, I mean, I could pass this around. There were actually 3 days.
What was the significance of the Ides?
I don't know if there was significance, except that like it'd be hard to say 29 days before the end of the month.
So just a way of dividing up the...
Right, so the month had like these 3 mileposts where you had the first day, which is the Calends, and then the 13th or the 15th, which was the Ides. And then you had, I'm sorry, the first day was the Nones, and the last day was the Calends. So like if you wanted to like count the days of the month, you'd start with, you know, Calends of April, 4 days before the Nones of April, 3 days before the Nones of April, etc., until you get to the Nones, which I guess is the 5th, actually. So I'll just pass this around. So just to give you an idea that, like, people didn't usually count 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's the same thing if you know Roman numerals. You know, you have IV, which is like 5 minus 1. Just the things that are obvious to us, that's not the way anybody did anything. Somebody had a question?
So you count the last day of the month, that was a milepost, and the first day of the next month was a milepost.
Actually, the 5th day, I forgot.
Oh, it was the 5th day.
Right.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot more sense.
That makes more sense, right.
Because otherwise, right next to it, what's the point?
Right, okay. So just understand that counting is not a trivial thing. And the next issue is, okay, let's say that we're going to be counting normal, we're just going to add one to all the years. So the question is, right, Adam HaRishon didn't start his calendar with, you know, year one or year zero. So somebody in a much later period did. And the most famous Jewish counter. Actually, I don't think that we know his name, but we know his book, which is a Seder Olam. I forgot to do my research.
I think it's ascribed to one of the Tanaim.
Right, so it's a Tanaic work, partly from the 2nd century, and it's quoted often in the Gemara. So one of the Tanaim was, maybe perhaps some help, he sat down and he tried to figure out, let's just figure out how many years are there, you know, from Adam HaRishon to Avram, from Avram to Noach, to the Beit HaMikdash, etc. And so, you know, we all know Bereshit. If you start adding up how old people were, you can kind of figure out how, you know, how many years went from Adam to Avram. But as you get later on in the Tanakh, that we don't always have, you know, how old people were and who their children were. And there's some, later on, things get kind of gray. So traditionally, we follow the Seder Olam, but just so that you understand, even according to, like, our tradition, even if you read the Tanakh carefully, it's not clear that in later times, like in the Tkufat Parsim in the Persian period, after Galut Bavel, there's a lot of the Pasuk isn't very clear. You know, there's some question there about, you know, Achashverosh and several other synonyms that are given for Achashverosh in Daniel and Ezra. It's not clear, is it the same king? As we know, kings often have the same name, like there's King George I, Henry VIII, Henry VII. So there's a little bit of unclarity, but traditionally, at least in the Gemara, they follow the Seder Olam to say, okay, we know how far we are at the time of the Seder Olam, how far back to Adam. So let's assume for a minute,
according
yes.
According to tradition, the Tana Yossi ben Chalafta is the author.
There you, thank you. Okay, so let's assume for a second that we know how many years have gone between Adam HaRishon and the Mechaber of Seder Olam. So we want to give that year a date. Okay, but then the question is, well, your starting year, what do you call your starting year? So, well, there's two questions. A, what do you call your starting year? So what year should the starting year be?
Zero.
One, right? One or zero, right? It's not obvious, right? If you're a modern college educated person, you might say college zero, because if I ever want to go to beforehand, I want to be able to subtract and the numbers work out nicely. But if, you know, in the, first of all, in the time of the Romans and the Seder Olam, there was no zero, so that wasn't really a choice, or you wouldn't have called it that. So there's the question, do you call the first year zero or one? And second of all, well, you know, there's also...
Even in the time of... In the pre-zero, in a pre-zero world, you have a baby.
Nachon.
3 months later, somebody says, how old is that baby? You don't say he's one.
You're right. You say 3 months. Nachon.
Right. They did. Maybe they said,
but you could do it even without a zero. You wouldn't call it zero. But yeah, you're right. And actually, the Seder, we'll get in a second, the Seder Olam does that. But the second question is, well, at what point do you consider the beginning? Because when we're talking about the birth of Adam or the birth of a baby, so you might assume from the creation of Adam. And that's traditionally what we use. But the world was created a few days before the creation of Adam, right? 5 days beforehand, or six if you count by the way Romans did. So if the first of the Adam was created on the first of Elul, Yom Rishon was actually Chaf Hei of Elul. Sorry.
As you're aware of what Tom's mentioned. That
if you want to call the first year year one, so what you know, if you want to have your epoch be the birth of Adam, so you have a couple of days before then. So if you call that year one, what do you call the days beforehand? Right. So if we call the first year one, then you would call that zero. Or if you didn't have zero, you might call that minus one. Or you might just decide, let's make this simple, and we'll say that Adam was born in the year two. And, you know, since we start counting from Tishrei, the world was created in Chaf Hei Elul, so we're going to start counting from 11 months and 3 weeks and 2 days before that, which would have been a year earlier. And then you come back to the question again, do you call that year zero or one?
So you see, and it sounds crazy until you've learned this Gemara, where you see that one day can be a whole year for purposes of counting.
I mean, it's the same thing, you know, when a baby's born, and you say the day before their birthday, they're not yet one, and on their birthday, they're one. So I'm just saying that it's not obvious, A, should you choose the day that Adam was created, or should you choose the day that the world was created? And then secondly, even if you want to choose the day that Adam was created, right, you know, as we learned in the first Mishnah, there's four different Rashi Hashanah. And if you're talking about Shtarot, where you used to date them by the kings, for example, so kings start in Nisan. So if Adam was born in Tishrei, maybe we should start counting for the Nisan beforehand or the Nisan afterwards. So maybe we should say, okay, so in Nisan he's 1 year old, which is 6 months later. So just to show you that it's not obvious at all. And then if you start looking back to the sources, so that what the Seder Olam did when he wrote his book, he didn't actually start dating. He just said this and this many years. But the Seder Olam basically started counting from Adam, but from Nisan.
The Nisan
after.
After.
So like Adam was born in the year zero. He didn't call it that. So Nisan was one, but Adam was 6 months beforehand. So he, you know, if in our counting, we would call that the year zero.
Or the, 6 months before the year one.
Right, right. That's what what he would have said.
Minus six.
And then there are
6 months BC. Before counting.
No, before counting, right, or sick, right. And then there was the Gaonim at different periods were also started to talk about dates, but the Gaonim started from Tishrei, so they said, no, Adam was, you know, he was born in year one. And then we have the system that we happen to use today, which apparently is first used, at least in writing by the Rambam, because the Rambam, when he goes through Hilchot Kiddush Shachar, he says, okay, let me give you an example of all this math I just explained. So this year is, I forget how, 1,000, I forget, it was 1178 CE. I forget the number he gives, but he said, La Yitzira. So when he says Yitzira, he's talking about the year before Adam, because he's going to give us a calculation counting from Tishrei of the year before Adam was born. And this happens to be the numbers that we use. So the numbers that we use are actually from what's called sometimes Shnat Tohu, right? The year before creation, the year of void and Tohu Vavohu. But just so you know, if you're ever looking up old sources.
So in other words,
yes.
So for the Rambam, Shnat Tohu begins.
Shnat Tohu begins on the Tishrei before Adam was created.
Adam being created 11
on Tishrei 1. Yeah. And Shnat Tohu was 12 full months
earlier. So it was a full year.
A full year before, right. So Adam was created in the year 2, uh-huh. according to the way that we count.
So according to the Seder Olam, we would change the date on our checks on Rosh Chodesh
Nisan. Minus 2.
On Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
He would add 2.
No, but the change from 5779 to 5780...
Okay, so I kind of implied that, but I'm not sure that's really true, but that's why he started counting Adam that way. I'm not sure that it follows the whole way, but if you look at a date in the Seder Olam and you want to compare it to our dates, you have to subtract, you have to add 2.
Add 2?
Why 2?
Years.
Add 2 years, right, because he's going to say, Yitziat Mitzrayim was in such and such year, right. But according to our counting, it's 2 years later. Because we count 2 years, we started counting 2 years before the Seder Olam started counting. And there's apparently some Gaonim that have, you know, plus 1 year. So they started counting from Adam and Tishrei. So their number is off by one. So if you're ever looking at old sources, there's often, I mean, you find this in modern books also, when they quote different things, then you see a stiya, like, you know, was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed in the year 70 or 69 because of that confusion.
So both the Rambam and the Gaonim and all the other rabbinic counts that put the earth somewhere in the neighborhood at the moment of, you know, 5,800 years after creation, they're all using the Seder Olam's math,
right.
They're just adjusting it to figure out what the starting point
exactly,
is.
Exactly, right. Right. We all agree about when Yitziat Mitzrayim was. We just give it 3 different names depending on which source you're looking at.
Does this affect the common discrepancy you see in terms of the date of Korban HaBayit, 69 or 70?
See? Right, so I think that most of the discrepancy is there. There might also be some machloket because there's a question about, you know, the English date versus the Hebrew. Versus the Hebrew date, so somebody might have made a mistake about, you know, Tishrei in September versus October, although the Korban was in July, so it shouldn't be, right? So I assume it's because of this confusion, because the Seder Olam uses a different counting than we do. But then, of course, way out of topic, not for today, but there is the issue about the Persian period that has nothing to do with this counting. Right?
In terms of,
there's a missing 160 years, but it's a relative missing 160 years. Whether you count plus or minus 2 isn't going to have any effect on that question.
What do you mean relative?
Right. According to modern scholarly chronology, the Persian period included, like, I forget, 12 kings and 200 and some years. And according to the Seder Olam, the Persian period had exactly 5 kings and lasted 60 years.
For the Rambam, who suggests at some point that the whole story of Tanit and Adam Rishon is possibly allegorical, Rambam starts his statement from this allegorical by making it into a symbolic start.
Okay, so if I could interpret the Rambam based upon my little knowledge of the Rambam, the Rambam doesn't say the world was created, you know, whatever it was, 3,000 years before him. He says, this year is the year 3,000 so-and-so Liyetzira. He doesn't go into, like, what Liyetzira means. It's like...
Which point of Yetzira?
According, you know, he doesn't say allegorical. He's not telling us that, you know, you should know this is a fact that the world was... He said, when you want to figure out the Molad, the way we figure it out is we go to the very first Molad that was 3,000 some years ago, which is the one that we use mathematically. And even according to the Rambam, that is an imaginary date because it's before the creation, if you're going to take the creation literally. So the Rambam isn't trying to say out of this that you should take it literally or not. He's just saying, mathematically, we start at this date. Right, again, that's not what the Rambam, at least when he gives you the date, that's not what he's talking about. He's just saying, you want to make a spreadsheet, your spreadsheet starts at this point, and then you know how to make the calendar from any day that's in the Bible, you can find the calendar for it. That's all he's saying.
And of course, all of the math of the Seder Olam is predicated upon a literal reading of those very long-lived characters in the first 20 generations.
It's a literal reading of that, and then I don't know...
Right. Which was the opinion of all the Rishonim.
Nachon.
In effect, the student that didn't live 969 years, depends how you count them, I guess.
Or
it says that he did, maybe...
Or how you interpret the what it means that the Rishonim, the Chazal and the Rishonim understood it. There are no Rishonim that offer some kind of allegorical interpretation of those multi-hundred year lives.
Isn't the Rambam counted as a Rishon?
He is, but he doesn't address this topic.
But if he says, I think he says that everything up until Avraham is allegorical, right? Or up until Noah, I forget.
He's open to that possibility.
Okay.
But he doesn't address this question when it says that Metushelach lived 900 some years, that these other characters lived 500, 600, and 700 years. Is that, and even, so okay, Manavshach. So let's leave those 20 generations of people living multi-hundred years. What about everybody from Avram on, where 100 plus is...
That's not so terrible. But yeah,
it's very hard to...
It's the difference between 120 and 920, but...
Yes, but...
Interesting, Chris.
You have your first child when you're 500 years old. Yeah.
So,
you're too young to have a child now.
Yeah.
Maybe 700.
Okay, so,
scratch.
Sure.
Thank you to Astro Tom. So, if you look back in the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Beis Omid Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. The Gemara earlier, those of you that came to Shabbos Hagadol, got a taste of it a second time. If you were here last week and got a taste of it the first time, so that was only you. It won't come off your final grade, Doctor. Yes, but you weren't here last. In other words, I repeated something. I figured I could get away with it because it was a slim crowd last week.
I usually have to hear things at least twice.
Okay, so now that you've heard it twice, you can repeat it.
At least twice.
The Gemara earlier had introduced this topic of account according to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And that was introduced in answer to the question, how do we know that Rosh Hashanah Lamalachim is in Nisan? In other words, all of the other Rosh Hashanah have a reason why they are there. Rosh Hashanah l'shanim is Rishon l'Tishrei because the Gemara says that's when, one opinion in the Gemara, as Thomas mentioned, which seems to be more definitive, that's when the world was created, or when Adam HaRishon was created. So it corresponds to something. Rosh Hashanah l'ilanot, Tu B'Shvat, what we call Tu B'Shvat, which is a machlokas in the Mishnah, whether it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, but either way, it's in the dead of winter. Why? Because you want to set this artificial boundary between last year's crop and the coming year's crop at a time when you don't have fruit on the tree. Right? In other words, if you have a barrel of apples and another barrel of apples, or a barrel of, let's take a Eretz Yisrael leaf fruit, you have a barrel of pomegranates and another barrel of pomegranates, and you have to take Trumot Masrot, you can only take Trumot Masrot on them collectively if they're from the same Shnat Yivul, the same crop. Right? But if one barrel is from last year's crop and the next barrel is from the other year's crop, they need their own Trumot Masrot. So when does it make sense to put a line of demarcation? If you did it on Rosh Chodesh Sivan when all the fruit trees are full, it would wreak havoc with the system of Trumot Masrot. So it's chosen dafka at a time when fresh fruits are not around, where there's a clear marker between last year's crop and the coming year's crop. But Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim is this artificial date. What's today? Today's April 16th, which means yesterday was
the Ides of April.
Beware the Ides of April tax day. Right? For those Americans who still... But we all have an automatic extension.
Right, Tom? The Ides of April is on the 13th.
Right. So how do you say April 15th?
You listen. It's 2 days after.
2 days after the Ides.
2 days after?
No.
The third day after.
The 17th day before the calends of May.
They don't do after, they only do before.
So beware the 17th day of the calends of May. Why is tax day April 15th? Could it have been April 20th? Yes. Could it have been May 15th? Yes.
No, you have to wait for all your Israeli banks to send you the statements. It takes them 3 months.
But say so for us. Well, we. But that's why we have a natural extension. No, we have, but in America, tax day is April. If you live in America, if you don't have an extension, April 15th is tax day.
No, but I assume it's the same sort of issue. The year's over on January 1st, but then you've got to collect all.
Say that. So they give you 3.5 months to get your act in order, right? But it could have been April 1st.
They give you actually the first quarter. 16 months.
Yeah. Why 16 months?
Because I just filed my 2017 taxes.
No, because you're here.
No, 2017.
Yeah, okay, anyway, under normal circumstances, somebody who lives in America...
If you have a self because of my wife's business...
Okay, lochpat, we don't care. You understand what I'm saying, right? April 15th is tax day in America. This April 15th, if you live in America, you don't have an extenuating circumstance, you don't have an extension, right? So yesterday you had to file your 2018 taxes. Could they have set April 20th? Could they have set May 20th? Yeah, if they wanted to, they could have. It's a completely arbitrary date, which is chosen presumably because it's convenient. Right? It gives the taxpayer enough time to get their house in order, and it gives the IRS...
Maybe simply because that was the last day of tax season. Sorry. I had two.
You want a third?
I should try that.
What color was George Washington's white horse?
Depends.
In grand soup.
I was at Grant's tomb a couple of years ago for the first time. I was surprised to discover. You know who's buried in Grant's tomb? It's Grant and Mrs. Grant and their son. So it's not so much.
Not his horse?
I don't think it's horse. No. So,
a picture of the horse.
Boys, you all had a little bit too much. Bir chametz is a gewaltige mitzvah, but so is learning Torah. So the Gemara says, how do we know that Rosh Hashanah Melachim is in Nisan. So the Gemara makes a hekesh, right? For the counting from Yitziat, from it brings a pasuk from Melachim Aleph. You see, it's about halfway down the Amud. Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arba mod shana letzait bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'shana revi'it b'chodesh ziv hu achodesh hasheni. Ziv is which month? Iyar is the second month. So you see, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when he's building Beit HaMikdash, they want you to let you know when the Beit HaMikdash is being built. So they give you the date. It was 480 years after Yetziat Mitzrayim. Right? And it was in the second year of his reign. And you know that the year of his reign started counting from Nisan, because the second month is Iyar. So you see, just like Yetziat Mitzrayim is counted from Nisan, obviously, so too, the Shnat HaMelachim is counted from Nisan, because there's this hekesh between the count of Yetziat Mitzrayim, which obviously corresponds to something historical, Yetziat Mitzrayim. You know about Yetziat Mitzrayim? It's coming up. 3 nights, 72 hours. You all ready?
75 hours.
75 hours? Say that in 72 hours you'll be sitting at the table.
Telling about Yetziat Mitzrayim.
What? You better sober up by that. You gotta drink Arba Kosos then. What are you gonna do? So the Gemara says, so you see, we learn the idea that what could have been just an arbitrary date for Melachim is Dafket Nisan, because the Hekesh to Yetziat Mitzrayim. So that's what I said at the Shabbos HaGodol Drosha. Do you want to repeat it for everyone?
No, it's okay. Just fine.
If I could just add a bit of calendar trivia.
Yeah.
Again, we take January for granted, or we take Tishrei for granted, but for many years in Europe,
March
was the beginning of the year because it's spring and it's kind of a natural dividing place, and that's why there's this confusion about George Washington's birthday, old style and new style.
Because they had to adjust the calendar.
So there's two issues. One of them was Gregorian versus Julian. But if you look at like his church records, it says there it lists 2 years because he was born in I forget like February or something. So if you go to Lashitat that the year began in January, he was born in such and such year. And even though it wasn't official, but it was commonly done in England, but if you counted from March, then, he was born in the year previously. So there's like...
It also explains why the names of the months, September, October, November, December, which are the September, Sept 7, October, Octo 8, November 9, December 10. Why? Because if you start counting from March, those are the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th months. So now the Gemara asks... So how do we learn? How did we learn? Then the Gemara asks, this is a review for all the people that were busy last week. Then the Gemara asks, how do you know that we start counting Yetziat Mitzrayim from Nisan? Right? Who says we start counting? Maybe we start counting Yetziat Mitzrayim from Tishrei. Meaning, obviously, that they left, we know as a historical fact, they left Mitzrayim in Nisan. But maybe the first 6 months was year one, and then they got to Tishrei, and they started counting that as year two. So the Gemara says, no, we see from the dating and two psukim. One pasuk describes what happened in Av. What happened in Rosh Chodesh Av? In the 40th year, Aaron HaKohen dies. And then in Shvat of the 40th year, what happens? Moshe begins saying over what becomes Sefer Dvarim. So we see that since Shvat, Av in the summer, and Shvat the following winter are both part of the same calendar year vis-a-vis Yetziat Mitzrayim. So you see that Tishrei, which is in the middle, does not cause the calendar page to turn over, right? So you see that so you see that the dividing part can't be between Av and Shvat. So it's Nisan. I mean, at least in the meantime, we'll say it's Nisan. So the Gemara asks now, the four lines from the bottom: Umi mai de maseh de Av kadim, dilma maseh de Shvat kadim. Wait, but who says that those psukim are in order? Maybe first Moshe and Shvat started saying right? It's Shvat of the year 40, right? It's like January. And Moshe starts saying Dvarim. And then a half a year later of the year 40, in Av of the year 40, Aaron dies. Right? In which case, there would have been a Nisan in the middle, in which case you would see that Rosh Hashanah, for the purposes of counting Yetziat Mitzrayim, cannot be Nisan. Right? Because it can't be that... Right? You understand?
Yep.
So the Gemara says... No, you can't think that. Dichtiv acherei hakoto et sichon v'chinach nafshei da'aron achatei hava sichon kayam. It says, Moshe starts giving his speech after, in other words, if Aaron dies and then Moshe starts giving the speech afterwards, then everything is hunky-dory. If Moshe starts giving the speech, and then 6 months later Aaron dies, it messes up the whole logic. Don't count. By 6 months, I'm saying, roughly. Never let math get in the way.
No, I'm just trying to remember.
A good story.
Yeah.
Sefer Dvarim takes 6 months for him to finish the speech?
No.
Starts in Shvat.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
The next other. Yeah.
It's like a month later.
Okay.
Right. So there isn't 6 months.
Not him die. Aaron died.
Aaron died. Does he die in Adar? When does Moshe die?
Moshe dies in Adar. Zayin Adar, at the Kurta Chazal.
Did we say that?
Shvat is the month before Adar.
Yeah.
Right. So there isn't 6 months after
Aaron's death, not Moshe's death.
Aaron dies before.
Listen. What? Aaron dies, if Aaron dies in Av, and then Moshe, the next Shvat, starts the speech a number of weeks before his own death, right? Then it all works out because you see Av and then later Shvat are all part of the same year and the calendar date turns at Nisan.
But Aaron dies 6 months after Moshe, because 6 months after Moshe they're already in Yericho.
Okay, this is why it's a Havamina. No, but in other words, if the right, so that's,
no,
this
but
is how
not Sichon. It's like Moshe was dead a month later.
No, but it's Sichon. No, but he's dating for you when Aaron died.
So the idea that Moshe dies on Zayin Adar, yeah, that's an idea in Chazal. It's not a puzzle. No puzzle. Aaron's Yaret site is given. We know the date of Aaron's death.
One.
Right? Moshe's, it's not given in the Torah. Okay. Right?
Thank you.
So they want, it's a tradition that he died on Zayin Adar, according to Chazal. It's in Agadah. So I guess Chazal here, let's say they knew that there's this Agadah, but they want to prove it from something more concrete in the Pasuk. So if Havamina means just keep your minds open, but we're going to reject it, don't get all uptight. If it's the opposite, if first is Shvat, and Moshe starts giving the speech, and then comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then comes Rosh Chodesh Av, and Aaron dies, we have a problem. Because the Sukkim say these were both in the same calendar year of Yetziat Mitzrayim, but Nisan is in the middle. So then obviously,
in that case,
Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah for Yetziat Mitzrayim can't be Nisan, it has to be Tishrei. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be, not because of, it's a good, so that's far that you say. I can imagine an Achron asking that question. If you look long enough, I assure you that some Achron has asked your question. But, and if not, so then you're the Achron who said it. But, the Gemara says, no, there's a problem. Because when Achrei HaKoto et Sichon, V'kinach Nafshei D'Aaron Achkatei HaVesichon Kayam, When Aaron dies, Sichon is still around. So it can't be that Aaron is still around
when Moshe starts his speech.
Right? How do you know that Sichon was still around when Aaron dies? Meaning, how do you know that Aaron's death had to have come before before Moshe's speech, because it says, "Dichtiv v'yishma haknani melech arad, mash v'yishma haknani melech arad." Mashmu shama, shama shemet aharon, v'nistalku anenei kavod, because savar nitna reshut lehilachem v'yisrael. That is, when Aaron dies, the Anenei HaKavod disappear. So when Sichon sees that the Anenei HaKavod disappear, he thinks, now's the time to get him.
So why is this drash more a bigger proof than Dalad Adar, which is a different drash?
Okay. Because this is rooted in a pasuk.
No, it's a drash in the pasuk. Okay.
Seder, but a drash in a pasuk is better than just some kind of tradition. That is, right? It's all of those. If you get one of those like Haredi calendars, like I always have one of those calendars at home on the refrigerator with all, because it has all the zmanim. You know those calendars that I mean, right? You know, like you want to know on any given day what time is plaga mincha, what time is mincha gedol, like down to the quarter second, right? So it's very good. But it also has on this calendar that I always get. It has on every day. It has like the historical events. So it'll tell you that today is the Eretz site of the previous Baba Vareb. Today is the Eretz site of the Netziv. It's like good to know.
They know when not.
When not the Seitachnun. And then also it'll bring you dates from the Seder Olam or from these other things. And it'll tell you, today is the Eretz site of Rivka Imenu. Today is the Eretz site of Serach Bat Asher.
This isn't called Devar Bito.
It's like one of these things, right? So I don't know, maybe they take it. So how do we know the art site dates of all of the Bnei Hashvatim? So there were these traditions of, handed down from...
Probably in the Seder Olam.
In the Seder Olam or in other places, but there's no source for those things. And Zayin Adar, the idea that Moshe is born on Zayin Adar and dies on Zayin Adar has no anchor in the text, in the Tanakh. So in other words, so we see, how do you know that, in other words, when Aaron dies, Sichon was still around, because when Aaron dies, Sichon takes that as a sign, it's time to go fight the Yidden. Right? Because Savar, V'hainu dichtiv, V'yiru'u kol ha'eda, ki gava Aaron. Right? The Pasuk says, the whole nation saw that Aaron had perished. V'omer Rabbi Abahu, al tikre v'yira'u, ela v'yera'u. It's not that the people saw that Aaron perished, but read the pasuk, because Aaron perished, the people were seen. How were they seen? They were exposed because the Anenei Kavod disappeared. And that's why they have a drink. It's a mitzvah. You got more bottles than you have people at the shul. So, yeah, pitom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hoshia,
Samech, Ovarech, Esnach, Osav, Eight bottles. Eight bottles of liquor.
Finish the Glenfiddich.
Please.
The Omer Esh Lokish, ki Mishamish, ki, right, the Pasuk says, V'yiru'u kol ha'ida ki, Gava Aaron. So this is like parenthetical, except for Tosfot. Tosfot makes a deal of this, but we're not going to go into it. Domer Ish Lokish Ki Mishamesh Be'arba L'Shonot. The word Ki in Tanakh has four different meanings. E, Dilma, Ella, Daha. Right? If, perhaps, but, or because. So Ki here doesn't mean... right, in other words, it would mean in the drasha on the pasuk,
according to the simple understanding of the verse, ki means that they saw that Arnot died. This translation falls under the category of e, which is not limited to if, but carries other meanings as well, such as asher that and ka asher when.
Yeah.
The Gemara, however, renders it to mean because they were seen because Aaron had died.
Right. You just made that up? The Pasuk says, V'yiru'u kol ha'eda ki gava Aaron. The whole nation saw ki that Aaron had died. But Reish Lakish reads the Pasuk, because Aaron had died... or when Aaron had died, Then everyone was not viru, but viyera'u. They were seen. They were exposed. So midami hatam kanan. Hocha Sichon. Wait a second. We're trying to prove that Sichon was still alive, that Sichon had not yet been beaten in the war when Aaron died. So does the Pasuk say that Sichon was there? No. What does Sichon, what does the Pasuk say? Haknani melech harat. So the Gemara says, Kanan hacha, Sichon tana. Right? The Pasuk says, the Pasuk here says Kanan. But the Gemara is trying to prove, the Pasuk is trying to prove that it's Sichon. So the Gemara says, Tana hu Sichon, who Sichon, who Arad, who Kanan. No, these are all the same person. Sichon, Arad, Kanan, these are all the same person. Why? Because they're different. No, they're the same person.
No, if you read it, it's different names for different people.
No, they're different names for the same person because they're not all names. Right? If I say Her Royal Majesty, what?
Title.
The Queen, Elizabeth of Windsor, are these different people? These are all the same person. They refer to different aspects of the same entity.
But they're in different parts of the world.
So the Gemara, the Gemara
it
says it's not. Sichon, why is he called Sichon? Shedome l'sayich. He's like a strong, what's that, a foal? A newborn horse?
Siach is what he called him.
So Kesiach Bamidbar. Knaan al Shem Malchuto. And the Siach is his nickname. That's why he's called Sichon. Right? Sichon is Milashon. Siach. Siach is a like a what is it? Like a young horse? Yeah, young horse. Not a pony. You know, ponies aren't little horses. Ponies are ponies.
That's the size.
Knaan al Shem Malchuto. He's called Knaan because that's the name of the kingdom. Umashmo, and what's his actual name? Like, how did his mommy call him? Arad. Ika da'amre, no, but there's a different tradition. Arad, his name is Arad, is his nickname. Shedomela Arod. And Arod is a donkey.
It's a desert donkey, it's more powerful.
It's a desert donkey, it's more powerful than a regular
donkey. It's a dangerous animal, actually.
Yeah, right, so are donkeys.
No, not so. They're
jackass.
They're domesticated and he's a jackass.
La'arod ba'midbar. Kena'an al shem malchuto, umashmo, sichon shmo. Okay. In other words, that's just the Gemara's way of rounding this. So we have no problem. There's no problem. Why?
Either way you look at it, he's the same guy.
He's the same guy. And Sichon is alive
when
Aaron dies. If Sichon is alive when Aaron dies, then the chronology works out. First, Aaron dies.
If Sichon and Arad are the same.
Right.
Which we said
right.
They are.
Well, which the Gemara says they are.
Two different ways.
Right? First, Aaron dies in the 40th year in Av. Then you have a winter. And then comes Shvat. And instead of going out to do the Netiyot, they all sit around and listen to Moshe Rabbeinu's concluding speech. And that's also in the 40th year. So you see that Tishrei cannot be the line of demarcation for the Shnot of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now, the question I had in the Shabbos HaGadol was the following. Seder. I understand. It makes sense. I mean, it's a strange havamina to think that we would count the years of Yetziat Mitzrayim from Tishrei. I mean, there'd be precedent for it because there are all types of, like the case you gave and other cases where you start counting from before and you round up once you get to whatever that line of demarcation is. But doesn't it make sense that you should start counting the years of Yetziat Mitzrayim from Yetziat Mitzrayim? Say there. So when would you start counting Yetziat Mitzrayim? What would you think would be the day where you tear off the calendar page for the last year and start the 15th. New one? The 15th? But no, we start on Rosh Chodesh. So that was my question. That was my question that animated the Shabbos Haggadah. The Haggadah says, Yochel Mirosh Chodesh. The Zahavamina, the Mechitz, the Mechilta, the Gemara is quoting the Mechilta. Yochel Merosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar, B'yomahu. I might have thought that I can be Mekayim, Mitzvah Disipri, Yitzit Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. Why? Like, why might I have thought you could start
doing... Because that's the Rosh Hashanah.
No, you're working on it backwards.
That was the end of the Shiabud, basically.
Yeah, because the Geula begins from Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, the Michalta says, Yachem Rosh Chodesh, Tamid Lomar B'yomahu. It has to be on that day. Right? So I might have thought, B'yomahu, you could do it on Yudal, on the day that we burn the Chametz. Which, you know, is not such a big deal. But you know the Gemara, we learn this Gemara. We learn this Gemara when we learn Pesachim. Mokom Shinahagu. Right? The Gemara in Pesachim says that there are places that are noeg not to do malacha on what we call Erev Pesach, on Yud Dalet. Why can't you do malacha? Could you imagine on this Friday you won't be allowed to do malacha?
We don't. Half a day.
No, we do malacha.
But half from Chatzotayim.
We are not makbid not to do malacha on Erev, right?
That's why we didn't say vinon because of that. Otherwise, you should have said vinon.
Yes, so that's why it's a makbid. That's why. That's why. That's why it's a. The minog is to argue about it, right? In the Koran, it says no vinom, and since most people are happy when Yontif comes out during the week, if Yontif was on Wednesday, l'chol adayot on Motzei Shabbat, we would not have said vinom. Why? So what's that got to do with it? What's Vainom?
Vainom is in Sef Tachna, no?
No.
No, it's in...
Vainom is somehow a kind of tefillah for the Parnassa, right? You were finishing Shabbos, you're going into the work week, you need a little bit of Parnassa. What's the aspect in Vainom that's connected to Parnassa? Well, either V'yiten Lecha, which is his bracha for Gashmias, or... Which we don't say, or Masei Adenu Koronei, right? Right. That the Masei Adenu should everything should be straight and proper and good, right? So on a week when there's a lessening of malacha, so you don't okay, we can get away without it. So this week when if first day of Sukkot came out on Shabbos. Right. If this had been the case of first day, the parallel case for Sukkot, we would have said Vayinom. But so this week, so Vayinom, so Yontif comes out on Shabbos, but Erev Pesach comes out on Shishi, which is still part of this coming week. So since there's at least a minhag not to say Tachnon, not to do Malacha, so people skip Vayinom, and most people are happy to, right? You know, how often do you see something, they say, okay, no Tachnon today. You see, is there a protest? Oh. People are storming out. I'll never daven here again, right?
No, I'm leaving.
I mean, I guess there's some like litvaks that are like really sick, but most people are happy. They don't even like
no,
in
they
court.
Put their head down and cry.
Oh. So
that's why the Deco Minion is so popular.
Because they never say Tachon. So
why never say Tachon?
Masora.
Did you give him the notes from the drasha? Afterwards, you wrote them up. You know, there are some rebbes that the chassidim come to the shir on Shabbos and on Motzei Shabbos they run home, and the first thing they do is they write up the. Is that what happened? Yes, in lashon hamikra. What we call Pesach is Chag HaMatzot. The 7 days starting from this coming Shabbat, this coming Friday night, is Chag HaMatzot. And Pesach is the holiday, is the day on what we call Erev Pesach, when the Korban Pesach was slaughtered. Not eaten, when it was slaughtered.
Right?
Not to say it before.
Well, you eat it at night, the next day.
Right. It was the day that you did the cooking for the meal that you were going to eat at the Leila Seder on Chag HaMatzot, right? So what do you mean cooking? How do you cook it? Well, first you got to be makrifit, and then you got to cook it on a spit, then you got to do all these other things, right? So you got to wash those lettuce leaves. So so Yochel Mirosh Chodesh Tamei B'Yomahu. So I might have thought you can do Sipur, you can be Yotzei Sipur Yitzim Mitzrayim on Erev Pesach. What is Pesach, right? What we call Erev Pesach on Yud Dalet, Right? The day that we burn the chametz, which in the times of old would be the day, burning chametz would have been the least interesting thing. Even for the kids, you know, the kids love burning chametz. You know why?
It's fun.
You get to play with fire, fire, fire. Anything with it's the season. It's the season of burning things, right? The season of burning things, like Ba'omer and Yom Ha'atzmaut, and so I might have thought you could do. You could be, no, Talmud Lomar Ba'avur Ze. That Sipri Yetzir Mitzrayim is connected to what we call the Seder, when the matzah and the moror and the korban pesach, when we add it, are in front of you. So I said, Yochol Mirosh Chodesh. There's a havamina. It's rejected, but there's a havamina that you could, that Sipri Yetzir Mitzrayim begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
And that's where the Rosh Hashanah is.
And that's Rosh Hashanah. So what is a havamina? A havamina isn't stupid. A havamina, by definition, is always it's a logical hypothesis, which happens not to be true. It happens not to be the normative halacha. In other words, the havamina that we just rejected a few lines earlier, that Rosh Hashanah, that we start counting the years of Yitzhak Mitzrayim from Tishrei, right, is a havamina. And if we weren't able to, if it hadn't been disproven by showing how the chronology falls out, you call it a parallel universe. We can imagine that's the way the calendar would have worked. And it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the Jewish calendar. But it's not. But it has to make sense. Right? It has to make sense. There has to be a reason, a svara, for why it might have been, except for the fact that it's not true. So there's a havamina that Sipri Yetziat Mitzrayim begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Because the Geula begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Rosh Hashanah is about, what's Rosh Hashanah, the real Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei. Ha Melech. Rosh Hashanah is about making Hashem the Melech. Right? But that's a joke. I mean, we don't make Hashem the Melech. Hashem is the Melech, right? Which just like we on Seder Mechuva, we wake up and realize that he's king. Like, we're ready to coronate him. Right? But he's already kavayochel sitting there with a crown on his head. Right? I mentioned this, I think others mentioned this, I think the Sfasemis mentions this. That's the theme here in the beginning of the Masechta. Masechta begins with Rosh Hashanah. Right? So what's the first sugi in the Masechta? The Malachim, Melech Basar Adam. How do you count the years of the reign of a king Basar Adam? Right? Because it's connecting these themes. So when does Hashem really become? Not the Melech Ha'olam. He becomes the Melech Ha'olam from the moment of creation. But he becomes the Melech with subjects, right? That's from Pesach. That's from Yitziat Mitzrayim. But Yochol Mirosh Chodesh. So we start counting. We round it back 2 weeks to Rosh Chodesh. To Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
So it doesn't bother anyone that when it tells us that Melech Arad, and we know that Arad is on this side of the Yarden, and
it bothers you, but it didn't seem to bother the Gemara. But if you look,
I remember learning that it was supposed to be that it was Amaleki dressed up as Knani.
So that's what Tosfos here. Tosfos here, V'yishma Knani Melech Arad, he addresses this. Others take up this question, but for our purposes of the chronology, it's less important. Okay, so we'll stop here. Oh, wait, so next week is Pesach. So we will know.
Next week is Chag HaMatzot.
Next week is Chag HaMatzot. I guess we won't have Shir Chag HaMatzot. So we'll meet the Tuesday after Pesach, but then in May I'm away a couple of times. So either we'll have to change, we'll talk about it after Pesach, but we'll have to reschedule or we'll have to skip.